what it means to be a good person in today's society. You go to the bathroom and you clean up after yourself.
And instead of just being excited for me, you hit me with a one-up.
They don't want to be distracted by your phone and hearing what's going on in your world and in your conversations.
So disrespecting other people's time by being late.
I am time management delusional.
You know, women say, I want a guy to open the door for me, but smack my ass on the way in.
Wow, I look so bad, but obviously they look so good.
I've always bought everything in our relationship, but you always have remained grateful.
It's here. We're back. So hello, guys. We're back.
So what's the topic today?
Okay, so I think the topic today that I really want to talk about, and it's been on my mind lately, is proper social etiquette. Mm. I think we did an episode before on etiquette, but it was more like masculine and feminine etiquette. Today, I want to talk about what it means to be a good person in today's society, because I feel like this generation is really lacking that, and we kind of forgot how to be like socially intelligent. There's so many things that go on in a day-to-day basis that where it's like, wow, if people were more aware and more observant about themselves, you know, there it would be like a much happier and calmer place. I know that's so crazy to say, but there's just so many things that are happening that drive me absolutely insane, where it's like, I didn't think this was a problem back in the day. But I just feel like we're so far away from being socially intelligent that I really just want to have a whole episode dedicated to that. But I really wanted to have a, because I feel like etiquette is more than knowing where to put the fork and the knife on a table or how to sit properly.
That's the least of people's worries.
Exactly. Now, I really want to talk about in this episode of how to be a good person and just know that you're not the only person on this planet. So how can you make other people's lives just easier? And I think that ties in with masculine and feminine energy, because if you're a pretty girl, but you lack social intelligence, you don't get really far doing that.
Right.
Because it's like, I can sit down and I can have my legs crossed and I can look pretty, but then I can just have my phone on loud during a movie or laughing during a movie, and you know, people will look at me. It's like, damn, you lack social intelligence. You don't know how to be a good person around people in the world.
Right. Not like a good person character-wise, but good person as in just considerate of others.
And I feel like in today's society, we lack that completely. And we're just so far away from that. So we wanted to create a whole episode.
So we've been holding a lot of stuff in. And this is the episode where we're going to unleash it all.
Okay, yes. I have a list. And Mike also has a list. So if this is you guys, please change.
If it's triggering, then you're the problem.
Yeah, just so if you feel targeted, you should.
This is for you.
Yes. Okay, so my first one. Okay, my first one that drives me absolutely insane is going to a public restroom, especially the ladies' room, and it being a complete mess. I walk into restrooms sometimes, babe, and people don't flush the toilet. And then the other person goes in, and I was one of those people where this girl literally came out of the bathroom, and I was the one that was supposed to go in next, and she didn't flush the toilet. And
did
I
she looked leave a at surprise
her,
for you?
The number one, but I'm girl, and I went up to her.
You didn't.
I swear. I'm like, hey, like, you didn't flush the toilet.
No, you're serious? You went up to her?
I went up to her. I was like, hey, you didn't flush the toilet. I was so done at that point because it's happened so many times. At this time, I finally went up to her.
Girl.
And she was washing her hands. She goes, oh, the toilet didn't flush. It's like, okay, so let me know that instead of just going on your way and acting like everything is fine. And then I have to step into the stall room.
Did the toilet not flush?
It flushed. You just have to do it a little more. But,
so she's a liar.
Okay, let me just finish this. Because you're acting like it's not something serious, because I don't know how the guy's bathroom is.
No, listen, it is serious. I'm actually genuinely concerned for the girl that you confronted her in a public restroom.
Well, I didn't confront her in front of people. I went up to her and I tapped her.
I guess as a man, I would let number one go. But if a dude came out of the stall and there was a line of people waiting and it was number two, I would be so irritated.
Listen, for a guy, I don't know what your what that proper etiquette is in the bathroom stall.
Oh, there's no etiquette.
For me, as a woman, it's like you clean up after yourself. I went to the Cheesecake Factory bathroom and it was a disaster. Disaster where there was toilet paper on the floor and there was number twos and number ones. And I'm just like, what is going on here? And people eat here, you know? So it's kind of like, if this is how the bathroom looks, how does the kitchen look? You know, how are people not taking their care of themselves, especially women? It's like you go to the bathroom and you clean up after yourself. You clean up whatever you have to do. If the toilet's not flushing, you tell the person, hey, I'm so sorry, but the toilet's not flushing. It's out of order. So she knows, and she doesn't walk in and then thinks you're a complete animal. So that's my number one is and even as a woman in today's society, it's if you go to a public restroom, if you go to any bathroom, please clean up after yourself. Flush the toilet. And if there's sprinkles of drizzle around the toilet, you take a toilet paper and you wipe the toilet seat off. So the next person who comes in, you know, is able to have a clean stall.
So, I feel way worse for girls on this one than guys, because at least we can stand up.
Exactly. It's you always have to sit down. I hover.
You do like a wall sit.
Yeah, yeah.
What do they call that exercise?
A wall sit.
Yeah, but without the wall.
Yeah, I hover.
Yeah.
Or I literally,
you get a good leg burn.
Yeah, it shakes a little. Anywho, but still, I don't want to walk into a bathroom and be completely disgusted. God bless those women that, you know, work and clean up the bathrooms. But if
I used to clean up the bathroom at the Cheesecake Factory when I was a host, mm-hmm. when I was 19, I would have to go in once every 30 minutes, and I'd have to wipe down everything, not the toilets at least, mm-hmm. but I'd have to at least, if there was paper towels or toilet paper on the ground, the obvious stuff, wipe the counter. I don't know if they do that anymore.
No. Well, there's some people that go into the Cheesecake Factory or wherever, whatever restaurant, and have it cleaned up. But during those periods of times where nobody is checking on and cleaning it, it's a disaster. It's a complete mess. It's like animals came. It's like monkeys came, destroyed the whole bathroom, and then they left. And it's like, wow, this is women? We're leaving it messy like this? It's absolutely, it drives me absolutely insane.
I love that one. Let's switch off.
Go.
Mine is one-uppers.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so imagine something really cool just happened to me. Mm. And I'm telling you something really cool. I'm super excited about it. And instead of just being excited for me, you hit me with a one-up. Mm-hmm. So whatever it is, you're like, oh, that's so cool. I have a story 10 times better for something that happened to me mm-hmm. in the past. That's such a buzzkill.
It is.
Because you're like, okay, well, I'm never going to tell you anything exciting again. Mm-hmm. People that rip that moment from you, you never want to tell good news to again. And I've been there so many times where I know who I don't want to call, who's going to be happy for me, or who's going to bring me down or try to one-up me. And usually it's coming from a place of insecurity. It's coming from a place of jealousy, and it's just not a good look.
Yeah.
Just be genuinely happy for people when they share good news with you, and let them just own that moment. I'm guilty of this though sometimes myself, where somebody will tell me something, exciting, and then it relates to something in my head, and I so badly want to tell them something similar that happened to me, but it rips that moment away from somebody. So some of the stuff I'm going to be saying on my list, I do, and I'm trying to either improve it, but I dislike it from others.
I agree. I feel like sometimes it's subconscious, where it's like, oh, you're sharing good news, so somebody else wants to share the good news. But I feel like a piece of advice is, even if you have really good news, but they just share the good news, just save it for another time and let them have their moment, because it is annoying. You know, it's like, oh, okay, I just shared my good news. Now you're going to share your good news. And then it's like, what? I have to be happy for you now?
Where was my moment?
Yeah, exactly. So let people have their moment.
Right.
Okay, another one of ours. And Mike knows this is this drives me absolutely insane. It's when people listen to loud music, loud TikToks, are talking on the phone really loud on speaker in public. Nothing drives me more insane, especially when we're at a restaurant. This has happened so many times to us where we're sitting at a restaurant and the person next to us is just watching full-blown YouTube, scrolling through TikTok, and the whole restaurant can hear his phone or her phone. And it's like, people are sitting here trying to have a good time. They're not trying to, you know, listen to what's going on your phone. And then people who answer their phone and have it on speaker in public, it makes me so mad, because you lack social etiquette to know that there's other people around that are trying to enjoy their time, and whether on a date or they're celebrating something or they're just spending time with their loved ones, is they don't want to be distracted by your phone and hearing what's going on in your world and in your conversations. So my advice is A, have some headphones, and B, if you're going to talk on the phone, please excuse yourself. Go outside, have a private conversation, and then come back inside. Like, I think that's a really big piece of advice. There has been so many times where someone's on their phone for so long scrolling, and just it's so loud that Mike has to go and ask them to, like, he has to be the, what's it called?
Police.
Yeah, the volume police, and it sucks. But Mike and I are trying to have a good time, and we're just trying to talk.
Well, it makes me uncomfortable, yeah. Because it's like, now you're putting me in an uncomfortable situation because you're not considerate of other people. And no one else will say anything, but it's, you know, everyone's annoyed because everyone's looking at that person, giving the eye rolls. They're just not happy about it. And I just can't stand it. So I of course say something. Hey, excuse me. I try to be so nice about it too. Hey, excuse me. Would you mind just, you know, lowering the volume? And
but sometimes people take it really well, and then sometimes people make it seem like we're the bad guy. Oh, like we're inconsiderate, gosh, for asking you to turn your volume down when we're trying to enjoy our time. Some people handle it really well. They're like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Because again, they lack the self-awareness, and then you tell them and then they're just like, oh, okay, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize. But then some people give you like the dirtiest look, like you were so inconsiderate of me, you know, going on my phone and scrolling. And it's just like, then that kind of ruins the moment as well.
My favorite story with this, because this dovetails to the movie theater, church, any sort of environment where you should be very quiet and respectful for the reason that everyone paid to be there, or the reason everybody drove in their car, got ready, and showed up in that location for an hour, let's say, or 2 hours, to then be talking loudly and being so inconsiderate of other people that the people next to you now have to go out of their way to tell you to shut up. There was a moment in church not long ago, maybe 2 months ago, and
This lives in Mike's head rent-free.
Yeah, it does. We were close. We were maybe 10 rows back, middle. So, you know, you're getting there early to get a good spot.
Yeah.
And the person in front of us kept talking loudly. It was really distracting because I'm going there to hear the word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's why I went there. And any little thing is extremely distracting for me. So this person was talking, and man, I finally, after like, what, a few minutes, it was probably the 10th time mm-hmm. they started a conversation, said, hey, excuse me, I'm so sorry, I can't hear, I'd really appreciate you, you know, toning down the volume. I forget exactly what I said, but it was very nice. We're obviously in church, so I'm trying to be on my best behavior, even though I'm annoyed, mm-hmm. I'm trying to be on my best behavior. This dude looks at me and starts laughing so disrespectfully, and then accusing me of being the police.
The volume police.
The volume police. And I'm just like, dude, you know, I'm just here to, I told him, I'm like, hey, be respectful. We're in church. And we started going back and forth. But it was just, it's just mind boggling to me. I'm so sorry. Did I put you out of your way to ask you to be quiet during the environment of which we should be quiet?
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting your conversation, right. But I'm trying to listen to the pastor that's on stage, you know, talking for an hour where everybody else is quiet, but you two, and you're sitting right in front of us. And then you give us the dirty look and start talking back to us?
Because we're rude and inconsiderate for asking them to be quiet. I mean, it's like the gaslighting. It's a total role reversal where somebody does something wrong and then you call them out on it, but then they flip it on you like you're doing something wrong for calling them out on it.
Yeah, clearly guys were very passionate about this because it very drives passionate. Us absolutely insane. But there's another, like there was another situation where we were in Dubai and we were outside, beautiful restaurant, looking at the Burj Khalifa, and literally the guy behind me, like behind me was watching a full-blown soccer game, and I heard all the scores, I heard all the yelling from his phone, and I'm like, are you serious? And you know, this is not a cheap restaurant and you're just trying to enjoy the beautiful Burj Khalifa view and you're listening to a full-blown soccer game, and you know how passionate those soccer games are. And he was with his wife too and he's watching a soccer game, but Mike went up to him and he's like, I'm so sorry, but can you turn it down? And he was super respectful. He was the type of person that wasn't super self-aware of his surroundings, but once you confronted him, he was very respectful. And the whole night went smoothly. He turned down his volume and everything was fine.
He even apologized on the way out.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking for apologies. It's like the last thing I want to do. Yeah. I don't want to be the police. I don't want to ask anybody to change their behavior. But if no one else is going to, then I'm going to.
Yeah.
Because I paid good money for that experience in this scenario. A high-end restaurant, and I'm not going to listen to somebody listening to their soccer game for an hour or two. I'm just not going to do it.
For sure.
And I know that you're going to be annoyed, and then that's going to ruin my night too. So I have to do it, as uncomfortable as it is, but I've gotten used to it.
Oh, and also, if you're the type of, like, this is why Mike and I don't go to the movie theaters anymore, even though we love to watch movies, is because, again, every time we're at the movie theaters, everybody is always like, okay, you're done. Everybody is,
that's crackling of the candy.
Everybody is always talking or giggling or just laughing during like sad scenes. And this one guy literally brought his Theragun, okay, and was massaging himself during the whole movie. And all you hear is, and Mike and I are like, oh, is this guy serious? Like, really? Like, go home. Go home. Be in the comfort of your own home and Theragun whatever you want, whatever parts of your body you want.
But that's annoying in your own home.
But don't do it in like a public place. But you know, I can go on and on.
All right, I got one that we are terrible with, and it's one of my biggest pet peeves, and I hate it. Being punctual. So now for the girls listening in this that are single, that show up to dates extremely late, that is so frustrating too, because it's directly related to that too. So disrespectful. The most valuable thing in the world is time. It's the most valuable thing we have. It's the only thing we cannot get more of. And it's the one thing we're always running out of. You can never get it back. So disrespecting other people's time by being late is unacceptable. You can understand 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes if something unexpected happens and you're getting a text message ahead of the time that you're supposed to be there. Hey, we're running a little bit late. Completely understandable. Not if it's repeated every single time though, right? If that's just you're chronically late like that every single time, that gets very old. And the other thing is,
he's talking directly to me.
I am. The other thing is that it completely ruins the beginning of the evening for the people going on their way there. So for me, since I drive everywhere, if we're late out the door, now instead of it being a pleasant drive where we can listen to music and have fun, I'm looking at the clock the entire time feeling like, man, you know, we're going to look so like stupid. And I'm not insecure about it, but it's just that if I was on the other end of it, I'd be the one like, really? I mean, 20 minutes late? I mean, God, it's a Saturday. You had all day. Like, what are you doing this late? So, and you can only use the, hey, there was traffic or there was an accident or whatever so many times. Eventually, they're like, oh, these people just don't respect my time. If somebody's late 5 minutes to a conference call that I'm scheduled because my calendar's back to back, I'm out. And good luck getting back on my calendar with new people that I'm meeting. So that's how important my time is during the day. meeting to meeting. So it's not any different at night when we make dinner plans with people or whatever. I'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Mm-hmm. And with that comes so much more peace. My favorite friends who have mastered this game are Peter and Carolina. Every time we go somewhere, even when we're early, like when we thought we were going to beat them the other week, they were there. They said, hey, we'll meet you in a place closer to your home. So we're like, okay, great. We chose a place literally 5 minutes from our house. And then Ange was like, okay, so I think it was like 7:30. She was like, we'll leave at 7:15. I'm like, no. I'm like, we'll leave at 7. I'm not letting them beat us there, especially when it's 5 minutes from our house, because they were maybe 30 minutes away. And so we left right on time. I was feeling good about myself. We get there 7:10, 7:15. I'm thinking, okay, good. We're going to get there first. They're never going to be there. They're there in the back corner. I'm like, dude, you've got to be kidding me. Absolutely frustrating for me. And I told him right away, I said, I'm very annoyed right now. But, you know, good for them, because they get there early. They have a drink. They can talk. They can hang out. It's an enjoyable experience. They're not rushing the entire way there. And they've mastered that. And that's the level I want to get to. Maybe not that early, because I think they get there like 30 minutes early. But, you know, to be 15 minutes early would be awesome. That way, if anything does happen, unexpected traffic, unexpected accident, at least you're still on time. Mm-hmm. You're looking at me like you don't like this.
No, I do.
You're like, getting the look.
I was like, okay, you know.
No, I think we really got to, let's go back. I want to do another 5 minutes on this.
No, I understand that. It's something that I would love to work on, but.
I would love to work on. No, I will work on.
But I know that all the ladies.
Those choice of words.
I know the majority of the ladies, I hope, that are listening to me is that I am time management delusional. Where it's like, for instance, now getting ready for the podcast. I had an hour to get ready for the podcast, guys, an hour. And if you give me so much time to get ready, I am going to think I have all the time in the world that I'm going to take my time doing things. I'm going to try a new makeup look. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. I'm going to try new eyelashes. Like, it is just something in me that it's like, you can give me an hour and a half and I will use that whole hour and a half plus more and still be rushing out the door. However, it's something I will work on. There's times where I'm like out the door. There's sometimes where I do wait for you.
You're very right. Rarely, you're right. But one out of 100 times you are waiting for me. I'll give you that.
But those 1 out of 100 times, you
no
know.
No disagreement there.
No. Okay. Those 1 out of 100 times I feel very at peace. Like it was an accomplishment. Like I deserve a pat on the back.
You're right.
Okay. Next one. My next one is, be observant and know your surroundings. I feel a lot of people, they lack knowing that there's other people in this world. For instance, if you're walking and you're going inside somewhere and you know that somebody's very close to you, leave the door open a little bit. There's so many times where I'm like walking behind somebody and they open the door and they kind of just like let the door shut behind them.
Or right on your face.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, really? Like I was right there. I love the people who like walk in places and look behind and see if there's somebody there and opens the door. It makes me feel like really good where it's like, wow, there's actually still good people in this world. And then there's another one where it's like, if you're at the gym, okay, and somebody is doing a workout and they're in front of the mirror. You don't go in front of them and look at yourself in the mirror and work out in front of them. It's like, no, you understand that that's their spot. So you go to a spot like right beside them and you work out there. I remember being in Scottsdale and we went to the Lifetime gym and there was that spot where everybody would go and look at the mirrors and then there was a bunch of mats. And people had, you know, social intelligence where they would look at you and they would look at the mirror and then they would go like right beside you. And I'm just like, wow, like that's cool. Or if they had to go in front of you, they would apologize. And I'm just like, I like that respect. So I don't know. I just want more of it because there's like half of the people who lack that. And then there's another half that do it where it's like, wow, like humanity is still alive.
How about that meme you sent me the other day?
Which one?
The guy looking in the mirror at the gym.
Oh, well, come on.
So funny. I'm going to describe it. the guy is looking in the mirror because it's hilarious.
It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, though.
Because I think because I think it's funny. It has nothing. I'm going to share it with the world. So basically, this guy is looking at the mirror. You're the one that sent it to me. You shouldn't have sent it to me if you didn't want me to go over it. The guy's looking in the mirror and he pulls up his shirt and it says, when you find a good mirror with good lighting in the gym. And it's a guy that pulls up his shirt, then he takes his shirt off. And then the next photo is him completely naked looking at himself in the mirror in multiple poses. I sent that. It was so funny. I sent that to every guy I know that takes care of themselves and that goes to the gym. And baby, everybody was laughing at that. That was a hilarious meme. I don't know where you found that, but that was so freaking funny. Back to the thing about opening doors, though. So important. And I don't know if we talked about this in another podcast, but such a top G move is opening the car door for your woman. I have opened your car door every single time. For the last, unless we've been in a bad fight. I think that's maybe been two or three times where I haven't opened your door, or if we're in a rush. Mm-hmm. And it's literally a conversation before we get there. Like, hey, am I opening my own door? I'm like, yeah, you're opening your own door. We got to go. But 99% of the time, everywhere we go, I go around that car, I open your door. And I'll tell you this, I don't need to. And I definitely, it's not like, I think somebody could look at that and be like, oh, that dude's a beta. Right? Like, oh, he's got his girl has him whipped. Mm-hmm. But if they knew me and they know what I bring to the table, and then they see me go around that car door and open your door, it's actually the exact opposite. I am a fucking boss. And profanity. I show everybody that this is the way that it's done, that you take care of your woman, because it's the same, it's that saying where, you know, women say, I want a guy to open the door for me, but smack my ass on the way in. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that I like to do things with you. It's like, I will open the car door because that's the gentleman thing to do. And, you know, give you a little tap on the way in. And I think that's a good way to live. And what I was told in a building that we lived in prior, there's valet in our building now and the building before. And they told me, you are one of two guys in this entire building. And there are hundreds of people that live there. You're one of two guys that opens the car door for your woman. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that made me feel good.
Yeah.
Because chivalry is not dead. It's just a matter of finding it. And I remember you had this thing that you said before where if you're a woman, just sit in the car.
Yeah.
What was that advice you gave?
I just said, just sit and wait. And then they're probably going to be so confused. Dudes
would just leave their girl in the car.
Well, then that says a lot about them. If a guy's not going to come back and just open the door and just be like, hey, what are you doing? And you can be like, oh, babe, thank you.
But I'll tell you this, it's two-sided as well, because when I open the car door and you come out, what's the one thing I expect?
Kisses.
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't open that car door to be snubbed on the way out.
But it's so funny because you lead by example that whenever like my dad comes or we have friends that come and they see that Mike opens my car door, my dad always opens the car door for like either me or for either his girlfriend, you know, he always opens the car door. So it's like leading by example where he usually doesn't open the car door.
Well, it's happened numerous times.
But when he's around Mike, he just feels obligated to do it because then he feels like a piece of shit for not doing it.
Yeah, well, it is leading by example.
Yeah, but it's, you know, your woman wants her car door open for her. So every time she sees somebody else doing it, she's probably there sitting like, damn, like, I wish my guy did that for me. Right?
I agree. But it's only because you are who you are, which is why I opened the car door. Mm-hmm. So it takes a true woman for a man to feel like a true man to be able to do that for his woman and not feel like a beta or not feel resentful. Mm-hmm. Because there are times, I'll tell you though, where I have been mad at you, but I still do it because out of respect.
Because I'm still his princess baby angel.
Yeah. And even if I'm mad at you, I still take care of you.
It's so crazy too, like going off of that, it's like, so I'm going back to that example where you said like two people, like people can be looking at us and one guy that doesn't do it for his woman thinks that you're a beta. Mm-hmm. Right, would think that you're a beta, But then you look at it as like, no, like I feel like I'm a G because I take care of my woman. And that's the right way to look at it because you do it and you know the feeling and you're chivalrous and you're masculine. But in a guy that would never do it and doesn't have that mindset, he has a different way of looking at it. So that's the same thing, because there was like a topic that I saw on like Instagram where it was talking about like the provider mindset. And then it goes back to like when you were talking with your friends and they're just like, wow, like you were like, there's nothing like working hard and spoiling your woman, because like seeing the smile on my woman's face is priceless. You know, it's like, this is why you work so hard. Like that's what you said, right? Along those lines.
100%.
Like taking care of the family, taking care of
her. It's the best feeling there is as a man to be a good provider and spoil your woman. And I'm sure when we have kids, spoil your kids and provide for them. It's the best, most fulfilling feeling you can get as a man.
Yeah. But then some other men can look at it in a negative way.
When you know? Only the men that don't have it.
Exactly.
Only the men that don't have it are the men that look at other men that spoil their girl.
And call them a simp. Call them or say the woman is controlling him or taking advantage of him. And it's just like, no, you're just in the wrong mindset that you think so negatively, or you're greedy and you don't like to, you know, provide and you don't like.
Or you think so little of yourself that you think that by you buying a gift for another woman, that that's all she could ever want you for. Mm. Like, I know my worth is so large with, because not of the money, not because of the, you know, the background or whatever, or status. The thing that I know makes me so valuable is my character, my sense of humor, the way that I love you, how I take care of you, how I defend you. Those are the things that make me a really good man. And those are the things that I know for a fact no one will ever be able to provide to you like I can. I know that in my heart of hearts, on the deepest part of my soul. So when I go and buy something for you or I do something nice for you, it's out of love. It's not because I'm trying to get something out of it. It's not because I'm trying to manipulate you. And I think a lot of men that are insecure in what they bring to the table will look at another man that's spoiling their girl and say, that guy's a simp. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the person that's saying that is the true simp.
Yes.
That guy's an alpha male who knows his worth and is taking care of his woman. Now, not all men though. Again, there are men, some cases, those other guys that are saying those guys are simps are absolutely right. You might have a guy that's way older with a girl that's way younger, and the only thing she's using him for is that money. And yeah, we know people like that. So if that's the case, then absolutely those dudes are simps, but you can usually spot them out. No. Usually you can tell, because they're doing it from a place of insecurity. They're not doing it from a place of love and abundance.
I agree. And also you can tell, because you can tell a man is a simp as if the woman is like very disrespectful to him, but he still gives her everything.
Yeah, like the whole attitude is like she expects it.
Yes.
She's not grateful and not all over him and you know, showering him with love. It's like, yeah, I expect this.
You know what really bothers me? It's like,
which is the most unattractive thing, by the way, for a woman to expect anything.
Yeah.
Is extremely, extremely just disrespectful and just such a turnoff. Like, you can expect the basics.
I feel like it's very, what's it called? It's very unfeminine.
Yeah, it's just like, who do you think you are? Being, you know, like the thing I love about you is we've been up together a while, a long time. And you still thank me after every single dinner. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that. I've always bought everything in our relationship, but you always have remained grateful.
Yeah.
There's never been a time where, unless it was a misunderstanding, where I felt like you were ungrateful.
Yeah.
Or disrespectful. And that's so important for a man. So any women listening to this, make sure you continually praise your man for what he brings to the table. If he buys you dinner, if he takes out the trash, if he goes out of his way to do anything for you that requires something that only he could do, lifting something heavy, if you can't yourself, these different things, praise him and thank him. And don't just do it once. Thank him each time you go out, because guess what? You're gonna get more.
Yeah.
When I am praised and I feel like you're not just thank you, But like, hey, thank you so much for dinner. It was so good. Like, good call on going there. Like, build the guy up. Yeah. Make him feel good, because then he's going to want to do more for you.
Yeah.
There's so much more to life than just looks.
I agree.
This is the stuff that really matters. We're all going to get ugly one day. No matter how good looking you are right now, we're all going to be ugly and shriveled one day. So it's your character that matters. It's your gratitude that matters. It's common courtesy and consideration that matters. These are the things that matter.
And I was also going to say, I see a lot of women on social media, because social media is such a toxic place, right? But there was this one guy, and he was doing something for the woman, and everybody in the comments was like, wow, that's so sweet. And then someone commented, sweet, that's the bare minimum. And I'm like, oh, like, this is such this is such a bad way of thinking, because guess what? Like, you can't, nobody's expected to do anything for you. It's always appreciated that somebody goes out of their way to make your life easier. Whether it's a dinner, like, some people are like, oh, that's the bare minimum if he wants to have me. It's like, that's the attitude that nobody wants, or somebody's going to use you. But if you want a true man in your life, he has to be appreciated for the little things that he does, and also the big things that he does. And that will make him want to do things more. It's like, treat others the way that you want to be treated. Mike still thanks me and compliments me every time I make him a meal, every time the house is clean, you know, every time I put his clothes away. He always goes out of his way and shows his appreciation. And it makes me feel so good, because it's like, wow, he actually noticed that I did it, you know, and he actually noticed that I did something for him. He didn't just expect that I did it for him.
Yeah, I mean, in my old life, weren't many women like that. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't a lot of that. So it's rare. If you really set yourself apart as a woman that can truly take care of a man and actually get joy out of it, be able to cook for him or clean for him or do these different things, even if you're like, well, look, I'm independent, I make my own money, I don't need to do laundry, I don't need to clean, I don't need to cook. You certainly don't need to, but if you want to find a really good man, you probably should. But and I don't care what people say about that, because people will think, oh, well, that's very sexist. I don't care. I know how men think and I know how they feel. And if you're at the house and that woman is showing the type of characteristics that your mother showed when you were growing up, it's going to make you look at that woman and believe, that could be the future mother of my children. Mm-hmm. It's going to click something, you know, make something click in a man's mind and go, wow, she's really good at cooking. She doesn't mind cleaning. She doesn't mind, you know, helping me out, being there for me, consoling me. Guys, these are all the same characteristics of a good mom. Mm-hmm. And you're crazy if you don't think that that man isn't judging you from the very start on whether you're going to be a good mother or not. Because mm-hmm. that's psychologically, like, that's that physiologically just how we're wired as men. We were designed to procreate and to, you know, create more of us. And so even if they don't think it, maybe you guys are just going out for a drink and you're having a good time. But the whole time underneath, subconsciously, that guy is thinking, could this woman be the future mother of my children? And he doesn't even know that he's thinking it. Mm-hmm. If he's not looking for something really serious, but hopefully they are, right? Hopefully you are trying to date intentionally and looking for someone that is being serious, because they will be looking at that immediately. And these are little things you can do as a woman, no matter how much money you make, no matter how independent you are and how great that is. Good for you. Doesn't change the fact that the woman's not going to love it when the guy takes out the trash and lifts something heavy for, opens up the car door and pays for dinner. It's the exact same thing, that we want to see a woman who's going to take care of us, right? She's going to have our back. She's going to cook us a meal. She's going to clean up around the house. These are the things that, regardless of what you bring to the table, it doesn't matter. These things, as basic as they are, will make a huge difference on your success in dating other people.
Well, I remember, because when I used to live with my mom, I was such a princess. And my mom, I worked at night and I made my money and I was very in my masculine energy. And I lived with my mom, and my mom treated me like a princess, did my laundry, did the cooking. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to know any womanly skills at all. I was just like, wow, I make money, drive a nice car, I look good, I take care of myself, I'm good. And then when I moved into my dad's house, you know, and I had to do my own laundry and I had to do like learn how to cook. And he goes, he was so shocked. He goes, what? He goes, what man is going to want you? And again, you might think that's sexist. You might think that's sexist, or you might be like, oh, that's so like 1950s old school. But there is nothing like knowing how to cook a home cooked meal for your man, you know, made with love and care and just taking care of him, or knowing how to do the laundry and making sure that his, you know, everything is clean and that he looks good. That is so appreciated, especially for a man that provides. He just wants his home life very, very simple and taken care of. So yeah, I remember my dad saying that, and it's so crazy because I learned how to cook at my dad's house by myself, like just found recipes online and learned, and just, you know, when my mom was cooking, I got her recipes. And then literally a year and a half later, I met Mike and I knew how to cook. Steak wasn't like my first thing, like medium rare wasn't my first thing, but over time I really learned and found the joy in it. And Mike loves my home-cooked meals.
It's better than anything. We go to really nice restaurants and nothing beats a home-cooked meal from you. Nothing does, because there's something about just, it. There is something about it. I don't understand what it is, but a meal cooked with love makes all the difference. And yeah, your cooking is bomb.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. But I don't even know how we got to this topic.
I don't know, but there were some good moments there.
There was. Okay. Go.
Okay, let me take a look here. So,
is that Enzo barking?
Yeah, he's barking.
Oh my god.
Right. He's like, yeah, I'm done being in my little playpen, and it's time to pay attention to me and give me scratches.
I hear you guys giggling, and I don't like that.
Yeah, no, he's gonna take a dump. If that's what he does. If Ange and I start having too much fun without him, he leaves us a present.
Yeah.
So God bless him. Love that little man. All right, so I've got one. Close talkers. This one is an absolute pet peeve of mine. If somebody stands too closely to me and talks, where I can literally feel the spit from them hitting my face because they're talking so closely to me, that's a big problem. So what I learned as the solution is I'll put 1 foot in front of me, like maybe 2 feet, and then I kind of lean back. But I've had people literally then kind of get closer and almost damn near straddle my leg because they're getting so close. And so that is such a like, just keep your distance. Mm-hmm. With in line with this, people that talk too loud, where they're yelling at you, and we know some of those people, or people that talk too soft. And you're literally having to squint your eyeballs. You're focusing so intensely
and
leaning in and reading their mouth. And all you want to say is, dude, speak up. I cannot hear anything that you're saying. And I've done that before, but sometimes it's right on the border where you can just hear. So you don't want to say anything, but because it's like right there, you're picking up most of the words. But man, just like, know your environment. Obviously the music is loud in here. Like, obviously your voice is not carrying. Just use common sense.
Your voice is not carrying.
It's not carrying. No one can hear you.
There's no wavelengths that
are connected. Put some effort into those words.
That's funny.
What do you got?
Okay, this one's like random, but I don't know if this is social intelligence or social etiquette. But I do feel like it's always appreciated. Do people not say bless you anymore? Like,
yeah, bless you is nice. We do.
We do. And it's so appreciated because someone heard you and someone just says bless you. I was at the store the other day and I was getting shoes and I sneezed and there was 3 people who looked at me and they gave me a dirty look. And I was like, okay, bless me, thank me. And I was just like, people don't say this anymore. There's just some traditions and there's just some things that I wish, what's it called? Like that I still want in today's generation. And I think they're slowly fading away. Like, I don't know, but I'm like, I love when people clap on planes, you know? And
okay,
Mike thinks, I won't go that Mike far. Thinks I'm insane, yeah, but not I remember a, not a plane those clapper. Times. But I remember those times where people would clap on planes. And I think it's so appreciated. Like, you guys flew in a tube in the air and came to a different country or city safely, landed, whether the flight was 3 hours, whether the flight was 12 hours, You landed safely in a new country, and it's thanks to the pilots, and it's thanks to the flight attendants, and that's it. You just go on your way and be like, yeah, bare minimum, it's expected, that's your job. That's how I kind of like think of it. But for me, it's like when people will like clap, it's like, thank you so much. Like, praise God that we landed here safely. Like, thank you so much. And I know that the pilots and the flight attendants definitely appreciate it. But I feel like that's a tradition that has been lost. I don't know if any of you guys are with me, but some people hate it. Some people love it. I love it.
I'll tell you that when I clap is usually only when it was extreme turbulence and everyone's like shrieking because they're so scared.
Yeah.
There's been moments where I remember one time I was flying into Chicago and coming into Midway Airport. Anyone that's flown in there knows this. It's very windy in Chicago. It was dark. It was late. It was a thunderstorm, lightning going on, raining. It was worse conditions. And it's got a very short runway. So landing, you have to hit the runway hard and then they immediately throw on the back thrusters. So it's like you kind of get your head thrown forward because it's so intense. That plane was dropping like crazy and I thought I was going to die. And so when we landed, everyone erupted in applause. But I've got one last one. Mine is just basic manners, please and thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I can like please and thank you has not gone out of style. I don't care who it is. It could be the janitor. It could be the waiter at the restaurant. It could be the person opening up or holding the door open for you.
Yes.
It could be any situation. Please and thank you never goes out of style. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care what your title is in your company. I don't care if that person, you're paying them to do the work. Every single employee I have, it is please and there is a thank you. Everybody that serves me in a restaurant or valet, it is please and thank you because it is considered basic respect for your fellow person. You are so disgusting if you're the type of person to think that you're somebody because of the money that you have or the title that you have next to your name. It is pathetic. Make sure that you treat everybody with respect. Everybody. No exceptions.
Oh, damn. That was passionate. Or even if you think like you're some pretty girl and you want, you know.
Oh, like, you opened the card or you opened up the door for me because I'm pretty and you don't say thank you. It's like, just have basic human respect for other people. If you do not say please and thank you, you probably were raised by wolves. Like, I don't understand who raised you because it's just such a basic thing. And again, I think some people, they get so, they think that they've got this ego like, oh, well, I have built myself into somebody that doesn't need to have basic things or, oh, well, I'm paying this person, so I don't need to say thank you or please. It's like, do you know how much my employees work harder for me because I am kind to them, because I do say please and thank you? Please and thank you is not weakness. Yeah. Just because I'm kind does not mean that I'm weak. Just because I say please and thank you doesn't mean that people consider doing something for me. They understand it's still an order because of the title of my company, right? They understand that it's like, I'm still going to do this, but at least using please and thank you is just a great way of showing just common respect, because if the situation was turned and they were my boss, I would bend over backwards for them if they asked me to do something and they said, please, can you do this versus do this?
Yeah, well, you look at somebody like you're not their owner. It's like, it's respect.
Right.
It's like, you're doing things for me. I respect you. Thank you so much for going out of your way. Correct. And doing something. Niceness and being kind will never go out of style.
Amen.
So I have another one, and this is...
Is this our last one?
Well, don't talk too much and let me get through the list, okay?
Okay, let's not go there. Don't tell me not to talk too much. We're going to have words later.
Okay, this other one I have is cleaning up after your pet. And okay. I know Mike is big on that and so am I, but there is nothing like seeing somebody on a walk with their dog. Are you on your phone?
Huh? Yeah, well, it's about dinner plans tonight.
Okay.
Say it. Just making sure we're still on because we're going to dinner after this.
My everybody. Other one is stop checking your phone while someone is talking. It screams, I don't care what you have to say.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, so that one is a straight attack at you.
I love that one. That is definitely mine. That is the one.
That was so perfect for this time.
Oh, that's so great.
Stop. Okay. So cleaning up after your pet. There is nothing like seeing somebody, you know, walking their pet and them not cleaning up after it. It drives me absolutely insane, because either I would step on it or Enzo will step on it. And then I just have a bad day where it's like, hey, take a bag, clean it up, throw it in the trash. It's not beneath you. It's a dog that goes to the bathroom. You clean up after him, and then then the environment's clean. Everything is clean and everybody is happy.
You have anything? I couldn't agree more. That one is just, I could go on for a long time about that one. I'll spare everybody, but it's just so wrong. Just pick up after your pet or don't have one.
Yeah.
Or just don't have one.
Well, everybody would be like, yo, that's extreme.
No, it's not. If you're not willing to pick up after your own pet, then just don't get one in the first place. Because if you're not it's like somebody that doesn't feed their dog or somebody that doesn't pay attention to them. Hey, just don't get one.
I think it's also super disrespectful for the environment. Like, for instance, we live in a building and I really like how they have that rule where it's like, if you don't clean up after your pet, we take a DNA sample and then we give you a fine. When Mike and I heard that, we're just like, yo, savages, but we like it.
Because we want to live here.
Yeah, because we lived in another building where there was so many people who had dogs and really big dogs and they didn't clean up after themselves. And then you would just walk and you would have this beautiful building where you're paying so much money, and then you look at the landscape and everything just has pile of poop in it and it's just gross. So please, if you're that person that doesn't clean up after their pet, I will send you dog bags to your home so you can start cleaning up after your pet. Please and thank you. Okay, another one. I already said the stop checking your phone while someone's talking and screams. I don't care what you have to say. That's self-explanatory.
Like how you restated it again, just to make sure that you drove that home for me.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Thank you.
Another social etiquette is if you're at dinner, you wait for everybody to be served. If you're the first one being served, you usually wait for everyone to be served unless someone says, hey, like, don't wait up for me.
Agreed.
It's okay.
Agreed.
And then you start eating. You want to enjoy your meal all together. You don't want to just be, what's it called? You don't want to just be eating your food. And then when everybody else has their food, you're done and you're just watching everybody eat. The other one I have is if you have to pay somebody back, okay, please do it right away. And don't make that person wait to the point where it gets awkward that person has to ask you for the money. And then you make up some, let's say like some lame excuse. It's like, if you know you have to pay somebody back, just do it right then and there, or do it when you get home. But don't forget about it, because there's nothing more awkward, especially if it's a friend or somebody that you don't know. That person that needs their money back, they feel very awkward asking like, hey, can you please send me like the money, you know, that you forgot about? I'm the type of person that it's like, I can't go to sleep if I know that I have to pay somebody.
Same.
It's like, if I know that I have to pay you, you're getting a message right away saying like, hey, I sent the money. No questions asked, like nothing. Unless like, yeah, there's no excuses to that. Because I know some people that wait so long and then it's just like, hey, you forgot, like you owe me this much money. And then it's just weird.
The one thing I will say about that, because I completely agree with you, is sometimes I'm so busy that I have so much going on, but I really am busy.
Yeah.
I own 5 companies and have hundreds of employees.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so much always going on that sometimes it literally does just slip my mind. And but usually most people are not as busy as me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I can say even then, 95% of the time, I'm perfect with it.
Yeah.
But once in a while, you'll be like, hey, can you pay the cleaner or something? And it'll completely slip my mind. And then you'll ask me again the next day and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll do it right now. So those are the moments that are coming to me, but not ever intentionally and never, you get what I mean?
No.
And if it's a friend, it's almost immediate. It's usually immediate. It's usually like services though. Sometimes I drop the ball on for a day or two, but friendship, absolutely. They're getting paid probably at the table.
Exactly.
So if I don't have cash on me, it's like I'm pulling out Venmo or pulling out Zelle and you're getting the money now because I don't even want to think about it.
Exactly. Like, what's the excuse if you have to Venmo or you have to Zelle somebody and you don't do it right then at the table and you're like, yeah, I'll do it later. It's like, well, why not do it now? You know,
that's usually my question for everything.
Yeah. I have another one where it's ask before posting. So if you take a group picture with somebody or you take a photo with somebody, I think it's always like proper etiquette to send that photo to the group chat and just be like, hey, I want to post this. Like, you know, is it okay? And if somebody says no, don't try to convince them, hey, you look so good, even though they look like crap and you look the greatest in that photo. You know, if they say no, just respectfully say no problem, all good, won't post it. It's a photo. It won't ruin your life. But I always don't like when somebody posts a photo and then I look at it online and it's like, wow, I look so bad, but obviously they look so good. And it's like, right. Hey, you couldn't have messaged me. I couldn't have like tweaked some things up. You couldn't ask my permission. Like, what if it's something that I didn't want on the internet? So I always think it's super respectful if there's somebody else in the photo with you, whether it's a group or just a person, send it. Ask for permission, and if it's good to go, it's good to go. Yeah?
Yeah, it's definitely a girl one, but yep, I agree. Because guys don't care about this.
Yeah. And my last one is don't litter. Yeah, oh, that's a big one for me. If you're eating out in public and you just leave your garbage on the floor, or you just toss it on the floor, or you're at a table and you don't just, you know, pick up everything and throw it in the trash, and so the other person, like it can be a turnover table, and then you know, I absolutely hate it. Mike and I, if we're eating out in public, we always clean up after ourselves, and we always like wipe the table down so somebody can just sit at a table and, you know, have it clean and have it nice. And I think that's proper social etiquette. It's because like you're not the only person eating at this table. There's so many times where Mike and I sit at a table and it's absolutely in disgust to the point where we can't even use it. So it's like a table that's free, but it's so disgusting that you don't even want to sit at it, where it's like the person that was at the table previously could have just picked up all their trash, put it in the trash can, took another 3 seconds to wipe the table down, and it would have been perfectly fine. And the people who litter in New York and in LA, I've seen the most garbage everywhere, and there's trash cans everywhere, and it's like, do people not just know to pick up their garbage and put it in the trash so the place that you live in can be clean? You know, like the other day or even today, we went to a coffee and there was just trash on the floor. It's like, you sat at that restaurant and you had their food or you had their drinks, and then you just tossed the garbage on the floor and you couldn't just throw it in the trash. I think that's so disrespectful. I don't know if this episode was like a therapy session or
I was just about to say this has been very therapeutic.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a therapy session. I don't know if this was
us. I had some serious stuff to get off my chest. I don't know if
this was us just like talking and going on a tangent about our pet peeves or a mixture of like social etiquette, but I think it's like all the same because we just went in full like range mode of things that we hate that we see in the world that wish it was different. I think when you look at Japan's etiquette, it's like out of this world crazy. Like people have so much respect in Japan for other people's lives and other people's time that it's you go to America or you go to Canada and we basically just lack the bare minimum of social etiquette. So I guess we just wanted to create this episode that if you are one of these people who lack this social etiquette that maybe you weren't self-aware about, please change. You know, please just think about it and just be like, wow, like how can I be a better, more observant, more self-aware person in society? So not only can I make my life easier and more pleasant, I can make the people around me, around my life more pleasant and more, you know, more better and just easier, right?
Yep.
Because we all have to understand that we're not the only people on the planet. And if we all work together, I think it'll be a great place. So this list is where it should start.
I love that this entire thing for 50 minutes was complaining. And then I love how you wrapped it all up in the last minute for some inspirational message for everybody.
Like a little bow.
Yeah, there's the bow on top. Well, it's been fun, guys. It's been real. Hope you at least enjoyed this. I don't know how much value you got out of it, but I hope something. If you're doing one of those things, like she said, you know, try and change. There are things that I still do even. Same. You know, this was good for me to hear because some of these things like being on my phone too much or being late, and that's why I want to wrap up this podcast right now so we can not be late tonight. But, you know, they're good to reflect on, and they will help you if you're single in the dating world. It'll help you if you're old and this is something that you've been neglecting your whole life. It's just people appreciate it. People notice. We want the best for you.
Yeah, it's just how to be a more pleasant person to you and the people around you. So hope it helps. We love you guys, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Bye. Bye.